The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. It's a pleasure for me to have the opportunity of presenting another program dealing with the general subject of Bible science. I happen to be a science teacher. I'm interested in science. I have spent my life at that. And for that reason, I think I'm in a position to help believers who really do not have a background in science and who do not have a training that allows them to comprehend some of the arguments that often are presented by evolutionary scientists. And I suspect in many cases, individuals simply are tongue-tied when it comes to trying to respond to many of the evolutionary claims because of the assumption, or perhaps the recognition of the fact, that they really do not have a background that allows them to respond properly to these claims. And the purpose of the programs, one of my primary purposes in taking the time to make these programs, is simply to help believers without a background in science to understand the reality of the argument between evolution and creation, and to understand that the idea that evolution is based on science and has a scientific proof for it, and that the position of creation is simply a matter of faith, that neither of those two ideas really is correct. Evolution has very little to do with science, as a matter of fact. Its best claim is to have some foundation in what might be referred to as scientism. We've talked about that term before. Scientism is simply, my definition of that, is simply holding a position which is unwarranted on the basis of fact. You look at certain facts, and then you interpret those facts to support a position of evolution, which the facts really do not support at all. And creation is not all a matter of faith. Granted that the Christian position is founded in faith, a faith in the authority of God's Word, a faith in the Creator God, a faith in the revelation that He has given to us. But the fact remains that we live in a created universe. You can't look around in nature without seeing the handiwork of the Creator. And as we have often talked about, Romans 1 makes plain that the understanding that comes from being able to view the things that were made, the creation, is a body of information which makes every person who has ever lived responsible before God without excuse, is the phrase used in Romans 1:20. Without excuse to know that there is a Creator and to know that He's a powerful Creator. So while much of the evolutionary arguments are couched in the technical jargon, the language of science, which a person who is not initiated into that particular discipline really doesn't grasp well, while that's true, the position itself still is not does not have a basis in science. And these programs are intended to help those without that kind of a background to appreciate the fact that they are still holding to a reasonable, intelligent position rather than an ignorant one, which Bible believers generally are increasingly accused of in these days. It were some sort of ignorant fanatics that really don't have much sense about anything. Now, we have been talking on the programs for a long time, generally about living things and about animals in particular. We spent a number of programs going through the major animal phyla. We have gotten up to the ninth major phyla, namely arthropoda, the jointed foot organisms, insects, crabs, crayfish, scorpions, millipedes, etc. and have talked about these for a long time. And some of you perhaps have wearied of this. I don't know. By my training, I am an entomologist. I'm interested in that. And I will have to confess that this probably flavors my choice of spending time. But the intent of each program is simply to look at a particular portion of what God has created and establish the fact that it can be understood properly only in the light of the fact that it's been created. We have spent a long time now simply looking at varieties of insects, and we'll continue that. We have gotten down actually to the matter of cockroaches, which may be something that most of you, but they may be organisms that many of you are not particularly enthusiastic about, with good reason. We'll talk about those in a little bit. But in each case, they are organisms which are fitted for a particular environment. They are different from other insects. They live in different places, etc. And yet, they are evidence of God's creation. Sorry for that interruption. We're talking about cockroaches, and this is what we're going to be looking at shortly. They, of course, are insects, and insects that make a lot of folks really unhappy. In some cases, perhaps, for with some justification, but in some cases, they're probably not as bad as most folks think they are. Now, to help those of you who do not have a background in science, I have previously on the program indicated to you something of my own educational background. And I am going to go over this briefly with you simply to help you understand this point. I have a reasonably broad background in science, partly through necessity and partly through choice. And the point I'm going to come to after I give you this information is simply that there really is nothing in the area of science which requires an acceptance of evolution. The acceptance of evolution is simply a choice. There's not any body of fact that requires accepting this idea in order to understand it, or there is no body of facts, scientific facts, that require such an interpretation. It is simply a choice on the part of many people. And as we have talked about on several occasions, the primary reason for this, I believe, is simply that it allows an unregenerate person, in their thinking at least, to be able to avoid the necessity of a creature submitting himself to the Creator. I really don't think there's anything more mysterious about it than that. I suspect there are a great many evolutionists who really have not thought that through. But they've simply adopted a view which in their mind means that they are not, it is not necessary for them to submit themselves to God. And within some limitation, this is true. God is not going to lean out of heaven with a baseball bat and club folks in the head until they accept the Bible and the fact of God's existence. God allows his creatures to disagree with him. There are consequences to that choice, but God allows that. But on the other hand, there is certainly the evidence which demonstrates that every person is without excuse before God, as we talked about a few minutes ago. My dad and mother were both teachers, and I suspect that's part of the reason that I had abilities when I entered first grade that many young people don't have, children don't have. I could already read and write and count and print and so on. And while all the other young'uns were busy trying to learn the alphabet, I had immense amounts of times to get into mischief of a variety of sorts. And I think this was the reason probably that my first grade teacher suggested that I skip the second grade and go to the third, where I would have to work a little bit. And that happened, and without going through all of the details, I ended up skipping three grades in elementary school, graduated from high school when I was 14, and came down to Bob Jones University as a freshman, intending to be a research chemist. through a series of circumstances, I ended up in biology and am much more happy here than I might have been in chemistry, although I have a background in chemistry. I ended up with an undergraduate major in secondary education, a major in biology, a major lacking one course for a major in chemistry. My graduate work, I have a major in zoology, a minor in botany, and my PhD, a major in entomology, and minors in plant pathology and microbiology. Now, I cite all of that not to impress you particularly, because it's just that's what happened. I've also taught geology and astronomy and biochemistry and philosophy of science for almost 50 years. And with that background, I simply make the point again that there is nothing in any area of science that requires that a person accept the idea of evolution. If you want to believe evolution, you can. But it is a choice. It is not something which is dictated because of some area of science, some group of scientific facts that require that a person believe in evolution rather than in creation. And for those of you that don't have much of a background in science, perhaps this will be of some help to you. So that when you don't understand all these arguments that are given, it really is not necessary that you do that. Just because you don't understand them doesn't mean that they are sensible or rational or that they're true. And hopefully this will help you be more confident in the authority and trustworthiness of God's Word.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.